In a time like none of us have experienced before, there's strength to be found in community institutions like Iowa Public Radio. I'm Executive Director Myrna Johnson, and I'm so proud of the thoughtful, informed coverage IPR brings you on the issues that matter. Listener funding is the power source that makes it all possible. Facts, understanding, insight, that's what you fund when you give to this station. Make your gift now at iowapublicradio.org, and thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. State tax breaks and government contracts for big tech companies, companies like Google and Facebook, could be canceled under a bill backed by many Iowa Republican lawmakers. This half hour, we want to discuss the aim of the bill, the bills, actually, their possible implications for big tech business here in Iowa. And all this in the national context of social media's efforts to counter misinformation while at the same time preserving free speech. Now, last week during a Senate subcommittee meeting, Iowa State Senator Jake Chapman, he's one of 30 sponsors who introduced a bill that would alter these tax incentives to big tech companies stationed here in Iowa. He opened his argument that these tech companies are censoring Iowans, and that's a violation of their constitutional rights.
The First Amendment, I believe, is under attack as never before. And what we have seen from some of these big tech companies who, frankly, are receiving hundreds of millions of dollars in local state tax breaks, exemptions, they have an obligation to make sure that Iowans are being safeguarded with their ability to say what they want to say, so long as they're not violating criminal law. And it's really unfortunate that we are here today because of several actors that I believe are using a coordinated effort to silence the voice of Iowans. And for that reason, I have put forward this legislation. And frankly, these big tech companies, hopefully some are on today and we can hear from them, they'll have an opportunity, a choice to make. You can choose to respect the voice of Iowans, or Iowans will no longer foot the bill for your censorship.
That was last week, the words of Iowa State Senator Republican Jake Chapman. Let's find out more about these proposals from Grant Gerlach, Central Iowa reporter for Iowa Public Radio. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Ben.
We just heard Jake Chapman there, the senator, talking about it. Give us some more background and fill us in about the aims of this bill and what it would do.
Right. So as you heard, Senator Chapman and other conservative lawmakers are upset about what they see as censorship of conservative and right-wing ideas online, especially on social media platforms. And this is something that's been escalating, especially around the election and after Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol in January. So back in the run-up to Election Day, Twitter and Facebook in particular started putting stronger messages on posts by President Trump and some of his high-profile supporters, so that if they falsely claimed voter fraud or put the results of the election into question, they would add statements that these comments are disputed or are false. And then after the Capitol attack, Trump and some others were blocked from those platforms. President Trump, because of his statements like the video after the attack that he told people to go home, we love you, you're very special. He later tweeted, these are things that happen when a landslide victory is stripped away. So Twitter says Trump is still blocked. He won't be allowed back on their site. He's been appealing the decision from Facebook to take down his accounts. Then a couple weeks after the attack, Parler, which is a different social media site with far fewer standards when it comes to flagging or blocking posts, Parler was blocked by Apple and Amazon and Google. Apple blocked the app on its phones. Google dropped it from Android. Amazon blocked it from its web hosting servers. And that's notable because Parler became something of a refuge for people who wanted to express their right-wing views but weren't able to do it on Twitter. And so now many conservatives are calling for they're calling that censorship, and they are trying to find ways to kind of get back at these companies. So this is an effort at the state level to rein in social media companies, since there are things that they'd like to do at the federal level, but they aren't empowered to do that right now.
Okay, so this law would do what? It would enable actions against many of the big tech companies, all present in Iowa, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, Google. All the big ones are here, as they are present in other states as well. So the trigger in this bill, what would trigger action, and what would that action be?
Yeah, so the Senate bill, what would happen is, if a tech company like Facebook, for instance, is found to have removed a user or taken down content, they could lose access to tax incentives and government contracts. And the Attorney General's office would be in charge of enforcing this. So essentially, the AG's office would have to field complaints from users in Iowa. And if the platform removed something that appears would be protected as free speech in another context, then the AG would have to take that company to court over this case. And if the court agrees that that would be protected speech, then the company would be disqualified from contracts and incentives in Iowa. That's in the Senate bill. The House bill is a little different. It's a fine of up to $100,000 if that kind of situation is recognized by the court.
If I'm understanding you correctly, it's not whether the content that was flagged or prohibited is true or not. Like, the election was stolen. That is obviously wrong. There is no evidence to back that up at all. And that's some of the things that Facebook and Twitter have been blocking. So even if it's absolutely a falsehood that was blocked, and there is, tech companies have been asked to counter misinformation, they could be penalized for that.
That's right. So basically, you heard Senator Chapman say, if it's not criminal, then it should be allowed to stand on these platforms. And so that's what he's asking these companies to do. And they're in a position of trying to work with these state lawmakers or to stand by their standards that they've been trying to establish for not just Iowa, but the whole country. So they're put in a very difficult position.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to the industry side. First of all, many of us Iowans aren't even aware of the presence, except that we are users, of course, of all these big tech companies' services. But they have physical presences in Iowa as well. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, Iowa's become pretty popular for tech companies over the last decade or two. Google has data centers in Council Bluffs. Facebook has a large and growing complex in Altoona. Amazon just built a big warehouse near Bon Durant in the Des Moines area. Apple announced in 2017 it planned to build a data center in Waukee. Microsoft has a complex of data centers in West Des Moines. And all of those have come with different mixes of state and or local incentives in the tens of millions of dollars. You know, for instance, in the case of Facebook and Altoona, they've received at least $26 million in state tax credits and even more in local property tax abatements. So you can see where they would be in a position of if they would have to give up or pay back, or it's hard to tell exactly what they would be required to do, but they would be disqualified from those kinds of incentives, at least going forward. They'd be asked to give up quite a bit if they were, or they'd be asked to change their policies and make them comply with what state lawmakers are looking for.
Right. So these big tech giants are lobbying against these bills. I'm assuming, but also when we talk about enforcement, so many contractual obligations there. A headache of court cases is what comes to mind for me. What do you see there as far as enforcement and implications should these proposals be seriously considered as becoming law?
Well, some opponents say it could get messy in a lot of different ways. The Attorney General's office, for instance, and they didn't say they were against it, but they did point out that it would be really difficult to carry out. They don't have the resources to pursue, you know, dozens or hundreds of complaints against these tech companies. Tech companies have a lot of resources to bear when it comes to protecting themselves legally. So this could become a really difficult kind of thing to manage in the courts. And then in terms of the different kinds of agreements and contracts and ways that these tech companies are tied up in just everyday work and business for schools. You know, there are schools that use Google platforms for their online learning. And Senator Chapman said that probably wouldn't be able to go on if Google was found to be in violation of this proposal. Microsoft is the operating system for, you know, thousands of computers used in schools and universities. That would be a problem if they're not allowed to use computers with Microsoft operating systems. So it just raises a lot of questions about what would be allowed if a company were in violation of this proposal, and what wouldn't, and the kind of hoops that government entities would have to jump through if a company were found in violation of it.
Mm-hmm. It certainly makes you think that big tech companies, if they were considering more investments in Iowa, would think twice and go to a state that was less likely to have these political, well, strictures on it.
That's a big concern from some opponents. And, you know, it's the kind of issue that puts these different conservative ideas at loggerheads. You know, on the one hand, there's kind of the populist interest of the Republican Party at the moment of guarding conservative culture and conservative speech and, you know, political correctness, you know, that kind of thing, going up against kind of their business first interests as a party traditionally. And so these are two things that are really coming to a head in this kind of proposal.
Well, before we let you go, Grant, let's listen to the governor on this. Last Thursday, during her weekly press conference, Governor Kim Reynolds was asked about what is the Senate File 402, this bill. She was asked if she was concerned about scaring off major tech companies, scaring them away from Iowa. Here's what she had to say.
The bill has just been filed. Iowans, businesses, tech companies will have an opportunity to weigh in on that bill. I do understand from the legislature, I do understand their frustration with what is censorship on social media and just some of the issues that we're seeing. So I understand their frustration in trying to address this. I hope that we're able to address this at the federal level as well. But again, we'll let it work through the process and we'll see where it ends up. And after we've done a thorough review, we'll be able to comment on the legislation. But I do understand their frustration.
Okay, you heard her repeat it a couple times. I understand the frustration, mm-hmm. but also non-committal. She's not committing to being on board with this yet, I guess. Grant, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with these bills. I think what she alluded to with the federal action, they would really like to see a change in this Section 230, which is what puts the ball in the court of these tech companies to police themselves. And there's frustration from lots of different angles in political circles toward that kind of approach to these companies. And this is how you hear it from Republicans in Iowa. But it's hard to see whether anything's going to happen at the federal level, which puts state lawmakers in the position of seeing what they can do here.
All right. Grant Gerlach, thanks for giving us some insights on these proposals in the Iowa legislature. Grant Gerlach of Iowa Public Radio. Until next time, Grant. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, we're talking about how in recent months, tech companies have taken stronger steps to counter misinformation or even disinformation online. But here in Iowa, a bill, or rather a couple of bills, are advancing in the Iowa legislature that would prohibit cities and counties from providing them economic incentives if a court finds they blocked content that is constitutionally protected. In other words, Republican supporters of the bill say social media platforms and other sites are biased in the way they moderate content online. And so this bill is meant to, in their words, safeguard conservative speech. Well, this is also a conversation going on among federal lawmakers. Last week on the floor of the U.S. Senate, U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa spoke about big tech companies and possible regulations. While Grassley acknowledged the good these companies have done during the pandemic, he argued that they cannot be left unchecked and that they undermine civil liberties.
Big tech and big data companies much like state surveillance and big brothers, share something in common. If left unchecked, big tech can undermine the privacy, civil liberties, and constitutional freedoms that every American should hold sacred and should never take for granted. Responsible digital citizenship is more important now than ever, particularly with the censuring that's going on.
Okay, Senator Grassley on the floor of the U.S. Senate last week. Let's get a broader view of the issues involved here from a legal scholar we've often turned to on this program and are glad to do. Todd Pettis is a professor of law at the University of Iowa College of Law. Hello again, Todd.
Hi, Ben.
So in the last few minutes, lots of words thrown around, censorship, Big Brother, an Orwellian term there, of course, freedom of speech. Talk a little bit about what you see as the, sort of the fundamental rights that we have here when we discuss moderating content online, trying to rid it of disinformation and misinformation while balancing that with our rights as U.S. citizens.
Sure. Well, I think much of what the clip that you just played from Senator Grassley, much of what he said is uncontroversial insofar as these companies have they possess extraordinarily detailed information about most, if not all of us, and it gives them great, great power. These social media platforms play a tremendous role in our lives. You know, everyone knows that. But I think when you talk about First Amendment freedoms and censorship in the sense that these platforms are now obliged to carry any voice that wants to speak on them, that I think runs into some constitutional problems. Because when we, as a country, adopted the First Amendment and the freedom of speech, it wasn't to force privately owned media companies, like newspapers, say, to carry content against their will. We adopted the First Amendment and the freedom of speech to protect us, to protect ourselves from government restrictions on speech. And so when we talk about censorship, you know, traditionally what we're talking about is government interference with the right to speak, and the government, with all the power that it holds, choosing what messages it wants out and what messages it doesn't want out. We don't usually use the word censorship to talk about private entities refusing to say things or carry speech that they don't want to say. You know, if you and Ben, if you invite a bunch of people over to a party and someone says something that you find offensive and you say, you know what, I'm going to ask you to leave. And the person says, I'm not done yet. You're censoring me. We don't usually use the word in that way.
Well, let me
because you're not
back.
The government.
Right. Well, let me push back a little bit on what you just said, Todd, because there is this idea that the social networks are so huge that they are the public squares. The public squares of the 21st century, and that just because you, Facebook, as Facebook, you dominate that public square, doesn't mean that you get to limit free speech, or does it?
Well, that's what makes this, it is their massive size that makes these conversations interesting, because if all we were talking about was the party that you were holding at your house, it wouldn't be an interesting conversation from a legal point of view, because you can obviously decide what speech you want to tolerate and what speech you don't. They're enormous. And the Supreme Court has acknowledged as much. And, you know, there's a case that just takes a minute or two to tell you about it, not more than that. A case called Packingham versus North Carolina from just a few years ago, where the state of North Carolina said to registered sex offenders that they could not access internet platforms where children can help have their own web pages. And that would include Facebook, because a child can have their own profile there on Facebook. And a guy who was a registered sex offender, one day a parking ticket was waived or something. Judge gave him a break on a traffic violation. He was in a great mood, so he goes onto Facebook and says something like, "Wow, God is good." Okay. Well, the state of North Carolina went after him and said, "You just went on Facebook. There's children on Facebook, and we've got a law that says you can't do that." And the United States Supreme Court struck down the North Carolina law and said social media is so prevalent in our society that the government cannot prevent this guy, make it a crime for him to access it. And so the Supreme Court has acknowledged the hugeness, the pervasiveness of social media and its centrality to our lives. But what the court was doing in that case was saying the government can't bar you from accessing it. it's a different question to say, well, does the Constitution now, which up until this point in American history has only restricted the government when we're talking about the First Amendment, mm-hmm. does all of a sudden, by virtue of their size, the Constitution has been changed? I think conservatives usually would say, no, we want to look to the original understanding, original meaning. We shouldn't be looking to courts to totally change the meaning of legal text. If we think the Constitution needs to be changed such that these great big companies now need to be placed under, you know, constitutional restraints for the first time, then we have a process for that. It's called amending the Constitution, bringing in a new text. So I think that's where things sit. And one last thing about Packingham, the court said, you know, these are complicated questions, and every time we speak about social media companies as they exist today, we as the Supreme Court need to be very careful and proceed very cautiously, just because the questions are big and they're complicated.
Mm-hmm. So in the last couple minutes that we have here, Todd, talk a little bit more about our right to free speech. And there are limits to it. We don't have an unlimited right to free speech. And so where is the line? And are these social media companies, these platforms, legally, constitutionally right in drawing the line where they have been?
Well, again, because they're not the government, they, as a constitutional matter, in my view, are free to draw the line wherever they like. The First Amendment doesn't oblige them to carry speech of a particular kind, because again, they're not the government. When we talk about the government, that's when we start talking and government okay. efforts to restrict speech. That's when we start talking about free speech in the constitutional sense. And it's true, it's not an unlimited right. There's certain kinds of limited categories of speech, for example, that the court has said are not protected, child pornography, certain kinds of obscenity, and so forth. And then there's other situations we call time, place, manner restrictions that if you can pass a certain test, the government can intervene. But that's all it for purpose of evaluating government restrictions on speech.
Okay, Todd, we don't have much time, but I wonder if in 30 seconds you can wrap up your thoughts on where you think this is headed, this big contentious issue.
Well, I think we're having a social conversation, a national conversation right now about the role of these platforms in our lives. And there's a lot of threads that have to be untangled and a lot of sorting out. We're living in a new world that the First Amendment was not written in the shadow of. They had no idea that this was coming. So we find ourselves with these privately owned platforms that are absolutely essential now to democracy as we know it and civic conversation, but yet they're private entities. And so the Constitution, I don't think, speaks to them. So what do we do? And that's the conversation we're going to be having for a while, I think.
Okay. Todd Pettis, a professor of law at the University of Iowa College of Law. Thank you so much for your insights, Todd. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Coming up after a short break, we explore three cases in Iowa Supreme Court history that made a big difference in the lives of Black Iowans. After a short break, I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.